in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be here. I've been challenged. I've been also been blessed for those that gave their heart to the Lord. That's exciting. God bless you, young people, for taking that stand. I can still remember 17 years ago when I gave my heart to my Lord. And it's a journey, and you all shared very encouraging verses. There's one more verse I'd like to give you this morning. It says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And I plan to look at that verse just a little bit more this morning. But for right now, I enjoy singing Christmas songs. And it's already been said that it's the Christmas season. And I've been blessed to see how that the resurrection story and the Christmas story just go hand in hand. Because if our Lord, if our Savior didn't come to this earth as a babe, there would be no resurrection story. And so I am excited this morning about thinking about the Christmas story. As I said, I love to sing the Christmas songs. And we sang a song, "What Child Is This?" Did you sing it because it was an enjoyable song to sing, or did you stop and think about the words? I've been just really challenged with that thought recently, that as we sing Christmas songs, any song for that matter, that we stop and we think about what we're singing. What child is this? Stop and think about it. What child is it? On Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet. What other child was ever announced by angels? We get so used to the story. We sing the songs. We know the words that come next, and we just go ahead and sing it. While angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. What child is it? It's the Christ child. This is the Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, while ox and ass are feeding? What's wrong with that picture? We get so used to seeing it. I thought about the verse that you have wrote on the board behind me. It says, "He brought forth the firstborn son, wrapped him in his swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." What child would be laid in a manger? What's wrong with that picture? Or what's right with it? Did you stop and think about it this Christmas season? What child is it? He's Christ, the King. And he's the one that we can sing about this morning. He's the one that we can go out and go Christmas caroling about. He's the one you can go tell your neighbors about this morning. The sermon I'd like to bring this morning is "Sing Jesus This Christmas." This world is just so full. This world just loves Christmas. I love it too. It's a wonderful time of the year. It's an exciting time of the year. It's actually something I look forward to, Christmas time. But why do I look forward to it? Why do you enjoy Christmas? Do you celebrate Christmas? Is it something that a Christian should celebrate? I recently read an article while I was preparing for this sermon. I was reading articles, and I came across this article. It said, "The top 10 reasons why I don't celebrate Christmas." Okay. And they were partially good reasons. I think the first reason was something like that it's driven by commercialization. And it makes me sick. You go to Walmart, you go to whatever store it's in your local area, and you just see all the Christmas things. What's that have to do with Christmas? They totally missed the point. All the songs. Recently, this past week, I was in a place of business, and I was waiting for a part, and the lady at the desk she had the radio playing, and it was regular This World's Music, and it was singing Christmas songs, and she said, "I'm sick of it." She said, "They play the same old songs over and over, so I can tell you which ones is coming next." They weren't godly music at all. Nothing about the Christ child. Nothing about Lord of my life. That's the world we live in. That's how they're celebrating Christmas. So one of the reasons I don't celebrate Christmas is because it's commercialized so bad. At least that's what that article is saying. But I don't agree with that. There is reasons that we as Christians should celebrate Christmas. One of the reasons they said we don't celebrate Christmas is because Jesus wasn't born on December 25. exactly come a shock to you. I believe that. That probably Jesus was not born on December 25. But it's a day that we've chosen, this country has chosen. The people from, I don't know who first celebrated December 25. It's a pagan holiday. But through all the paganism, I think we can still see our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see that this morning. I want us to look past all the Christmas trees, all the Christmas lights, all the Christmas carols, all the Christmas cards, all the family gatherings. The list goes on and on. The things that we almost associate with Christmas. And what is true meaning of Christmas? I want to see Jesus this Christmas time. So one of the reasons that I celebrate Christmas is because he's the Christ child. He's the Lord of my life. It's not so much that he came as a babe, but it is who he is and what he stands for and what he has brought to me as a person and what he has brought to all of you that profess to love the Lord. He's brought peace to my heart, the babe in the manger. This time of Christmas, it's an exciting time. I have to think of the saints of old, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. What do you say, 400 years of silence, where it just seemed like nothing was happening. There was no prophets, and all of a sudden, there's prophecy being fulfilled. That's another reason I get excited about Christmas time, because there is prophecy that is being fulfilled. 700 years ago, prophet Isaiah prophesied. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." I should actually turn to that. I even wrote part of that down. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, this was prophesied. What is the chances of this coming true? What's the chances? Let me read you in Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What is the chances of this coming true? A virgin does not have a child. We know that. And here is a prophecy that says a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Do you think there's people that read this scripture and they said, "It doesn't make sense. I really wonder if maybe he means that, or maybe it means something else"? Brother Edwin shared this with us last Sunday, and I just really want to bring this in here. There was a man that did a study on the probability of these prophecies coming true. There's about six prophecies that concern the Christ child being born. It was prophesied before he ever got here. Things like that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And several prophecies. And so he ran all the equations. And he came up with the probability, the chance that this could happen, if you believe in chance, of 1 in a 1 with a 28 zeros after. Okay? 1 with a 28 zeros after. I would start writing a lot of zeros on this board. That was the chance of this prophecy coming true, according to man's calculations. I'm not going to try to prove it. To try to help you get your mind grasp around this, this man figured out that that would be like if you took the state of Texas and put quarters all over the state of Texas, 20 inches deep, and a man walking out there and picking up one quarter that was marked different than all the rest of them. What's the chances? But with God, all things are possible. That's 100% because he's God. And that makes me excited this morning to think about that there were prophecies that someone could prophesy 700 years ago. And I'm still trying to get my mind around even 700 years. Because all I can remember is, you know, I don't even remember 40 years yet. Maybe the oldest person here can remember 70, 80 years. Things that happened back that far. But go back 700 years. That's not your grandfather, but that's your great, great, great. Things that happened way back then. They prophesied it and came to pass. Exactly. Every point that was prophesied, it happened. That's reason to celebrate this morning, because that tells me something. That tells me that my God is alive. That tells me that the prophecies that are in our scriptures that talk about future events will happen. That's why Christmas can be an exciting time in our life. See prophecy happening. It's also a reason to celebrate because Jesus Christ, God celebrated. God brought the whole host of heavens down. The whole host of heavens. It said the sky was full of angels, just singing, praising the Lord. This was a special event. I think we should sit up and take notice to that. Not only did God do that, but he also created a special star just for this event. As far as I know, that's never happened in history. I know it hasn't. But his son was born, became human, came to this earth for me and for you. And to celebrate that event, God formed that special star. That should fill us with excitement this morning to realize how excited God was about this event. And again, because this happened, we can have the resurrection story. We can have the power that lives within us. I would like to read in Luke chapter 2. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We want to see Christ this Christmas. We want to see Jesus this Christmas. And so much of the time, we just read these scriptures and we almost know them by heart. I memorized them in school and I can almost read them to you word for word. And I almost kind of forget what I'm even saying. We get so used to the story. We get so used to the nativity scene. You see it everywhere. You see the little shack. You see the manger. You see Mary and Joseph. And you see the babe. And they're all wrapped up in their blankets and in their beautiful coats. And there's a woolly sheep sitting there. And there's a donkey. And that's the Christmas story. No, it's not. Let's start Luke. Let's go to the chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 28. Let's start at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I'm going to stop there for a second. Who of us wouldn't be afraid to have an angel suddenly come and stand in our midst? Tremendous encouragement to Mary. For an angel to say you are highly favored. To think that God singled Mary out over all the other ladies, all the other women at that time. But he says, fear not. And he goes on to give her tremendous news that you are chosen to carry the Christ child. And she says, how is this going to happen? And he says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can a virgin conceive and bear a son? With God, yes. And that is just, it don't make sense to us humans, but we believe it. It's easier to believe this than evolution. You know, the world around us want to believe evolution. They think that things can happen, can just evolve. That takes a lot of faith too. I would much rather believe that my God can perform exactly what he says, and he has a record to prove it. But he says, do not fear. And I'd just like to stop and think a little bit about the fears that Mary would have had. Can you imagine the stigma that would have went along with this? Of all of a sudden realizing you're with child and you're not married. We almost get used to that in this world. But back then, that was uncalled for. That was unheard of. That was reason for divorce. That was reason for stoning an unfaithful partner. Fear. What is people going to think? I'm not even married yet. What is my boyfriend going to say? Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine the turmoil that would have went through Mary's mind? But God said, do not fear. Everything is possible with me. Just trust me. This is all part of the Christmas story. Where do you see this in the nativity scene? The fear, the turmoil. We could read Joseph. His story is in Matthew. And you can read the turmoil that he went through when he realized his wife was with child. She's been unfaithful to me. I don't know if anyone here is courting. But can you imagine, even if you're married, just imagining the feelings of injustice that's done, that my wife was not faithful. And that would just burn on your mind. You couldn't get away from it. You'd go to bed and you'd get up and you just couldn't even sleep. Joseph. And I'm sure he wrestled with this and he finally decided, I'm just going to, you know, they were almost married. They were engaged. I think their espoused or their time was even probably stronger than our engagement. It was a time when, you know, high hopes, high dreams, and all of a sudden crashes. But again, God says, fear not. Go ahead. Take her for your wife. Can you imagine the feelings that would go through your mind? That I'm going to marry this lady that is with child. And it's a strange story. It does not make sense. Who's going to believe me? What's my friends going to say? The turmoil that went through their minds. The fear. Let's continue reading in Luke. We have Mary going and visiting Elizabeth. We have a lot of scriptures there. Let's go to chapter 2. The scriptures that we are most familiar with, I'd just like to read them. And again, stop and think about what's in our scriptures. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he is of the house and the lineage of David. Just like to stop there again. The prophecy said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. We got a discrepancy here, or so it would have appeared. To us, you know, we can look back and we can see this. But God was moving behind the scenes in this whole story. And he, throughout, because he moved this governor to tax the world, he brought Mary and Joseph up out of Galilee, up out of Nazareth, into Bethlehem. So that the scriptures could be fulfilled, so that prophecy could be fulfilled. What looked like a very slim chance of happening, happened just like God said it would. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Can you imagine again the turmoil, the pain of being great with child and going 80 miles to another town to pay your tax or to register with the governor or whatever the system was? They didn't jump in a car. I don't even think they had a horse and a buggy. She either walked or she rode on a donkey. Very uncomfortable. Mile after mile after mile. Just plodding along. Thinking about all these strange events. What is God trying to do? Can you see God at work through this story? Verse 6, And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. What a terrible injustice that my Lord would have to lay in a manger while the innkeeper slept in his bed. That's wrong. The Lord of this world, the creator of this world, is laying in a cold, hard manger. I like to think that it was clean. I like to think that it had fresh straw in it. We don't know the details. It just said they laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. How could someone be so cold-hearted as to turn someone away? And I see a lesson for myself and for the world around us. This Christmas time, do we have room to let the Christ child, to let Jesus into my life? And that's why it was a blessing to hear those that have. But there are so many in this world around us that are closed and hard, and they turn to Christ away. They want nothing to do with them, and they miss a tremendous story. They miss the tremendous important event of their life, the Christ child being born. We'll continue on. Verse 8, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. These were tough men. These were men that were shepherds. They were men that could handle anything. They were out there to defend wild beasts. They were there to defend the sheep. They were used to being robbers, if there was any, lions and bears, and anything that would come against them, they were ready for it. And these men were sore afraid. Nothing like this has ever happened in history, where the heavenly host just lights up around them. They didn't know what was happening. Again, we have the angel saying, fear not. And I think you're probably like I am. There's so many times in life we don't know what's happening, and we become afraid. We become fearful. Mary did not know what was happening. Joseph didn't know what was happening. These shepherds didn't know what was happening. And the first thing that would happen is the angel would say, fear not. I'm in control. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told them. Now, I really enjoy the shepherds. I think I can associate with these shepherds. I'd like to talk just a little bit about who these shepherds were. The shepherds were people of, as we already talked about, they were often looked down upon. They were scorned. They were often dirty people. Because they slept in their clothes at night, they just slept in a tent. They might have slept out under the stars. They didn't take a bath every night. Maybe once a week. Maybe 2 weeks. I don't know, however long they were out tending their shepherd or out tending their sheep. But these were the shepherds. But they were always on their job, looking out for hardship. And we have Christ coming to tell them. And I see for Jesus this season comes to the dirty of this world. And who of us are perfect? We're all dirty. We all need a Savior. He came to the shepherds and it just changed their life. It made them so excited. They weren't like Mennonites. They knew how to hoop and holler. They knew how to have a good time. And I can imagine they weren't being quiet about running into town. I can only imagine them running down the cobblestone streets, making a lot of noise. And I can just imagine someone looking out their window and saying, I wish them shepherds would get out of town. But they were looking for Christ. Do we put that much energy forth into looking for the Christ child today? There's good news. There's things that's happening. Are you seeing it? Are you in on the excitement? The innkeeper wasn't. He was sleeping. Everyone in town was not paying attention. There was no family around. There was no friends to call. There was no emails to send. Joseph and Mary were by themselves. And all of a sudden, here come these rough shepherds. Maybe these were better than the most. But they come crashing in on the scene. I don't think they were quietly opening doors. I think they were throwing doors open. They were looking for this Christ that was born, the King. This miraculous event that these angels told them about that just fired them up. They were ready to go find this Christ. And when they found him, I mean, it was a strange thing that you're going to find him in a manger. As your scripture behind me says, he was to be found in a manger. And so how many stables did they have to look through? How long did they search? I don't know. But they found the Christ. And they worshiped. When we find the Christ this Christmas, I trust that it'll trigger a response of worship in us. It'll change us. Did they go home quiet? It didn't. It changed their life. They were so excited about what they've just seen. They wanted to tell everybody. And I'm going to challenge you. Are you ready to tell everybody about what Christ has done for you? About the Christ that you have found? They went home just praising God. And again, this was at night. And I'm sure there was somebody that said, please be quiet. I don't think they cared. They were so excited about, this was a miracle, something that's never happened in history. To see the angelic host come down, all the bright lights, to be told that they're going to find him in a manger, to go there, and there he was. It all happens just as it was prophesied. It filled their hearts with joy. There's a lot more to this story. You have the wise men that seen the star in the east. And again, they had to search, just like the shepherds. They did not know where that Christ child was, but they had to search. How many wise men was there? I'm surprised how many people think there's three. I would like you to search your Bible for that answer. But the wise men were looking for the Christ child. They were excited because they seen a star. Have you seen a star? Do you have a star over your place of business today? Do you have a star that says the Christ child is here? Can someone looking at your life say, you're different? These wise men seen a star and they said, that star means something. We're going to go find it out. We're going to go find out. And they began a long journey. We should be wise men this morning. Searching after Jesus. Finding the Christ child. Finding the one who gives us the power. Keeping Christ in Christmas. Or seeing Jesus this Christmas. It's not about the things we do. Again, it's not all the fancy things this world goes after. That's not celebrating Christmas. But what is celebrating Christmas? It is finding the Christ child. Christ child is no more a baby. It's not about the baby in the manger. It's about serving our risen Lord. And that's what was so beautiful about the resurrection story this morning. Tying it on to Christmas. How that Christ is no longer. He came as a babe. Made him human. He could understand everything we struggle with. He understands humiliation. born in a stable. Nobody cared about him. His parents did. Almost a rejected feeling. Didn't even have a proper place to live. Being hunted for his life, and he grew up that way. And he grew up, and he understands us. And he was resurrected and went to be with our God. And he gives us the power this morning to continue to live for him. He blesses our life, and he promises strength, and he promises his victory if we look to him every day of our life. That's what makes this Christmas time so exciting to me. Let's kneel for prayer. Oh God, our Father in heaven, we just thank you for all that you've done for me. Father, I just thank you for coming to this sinful world as a baby. And Father, I just thank you for the story that you have put into our scriptures that we can read and that we can look into, that gives us a glimpse of your life. Father, I just thank you for the pain that you have endured for me and for all of us here this morning. Father, I just thank you that you still care about us and that you look down from heaven and that you have promised us that you will look after us. You have promised us to care for us. You have promised us a home in heaven. Father, I just thank you for that. I just thank you that all your words are true. And the things that you prophesied, the things that are in our scriptures, will come to pass. I just thank you for the power that you have put there. I thank you for the power that's in our life. I just pray that for a blessing upon each one here this morning, upon this church here. I just pray that you would bless them as they go singing this evening, that as they sing words about you, that it'll be like a shining light. And the people looking on will say there's more to this. Father, I just pray that each one would be able to spread the story about what Jesus has done for them. Father, just go with us, God, and direct. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.